The theater of the mind.
Hello. My name is Dr. Mercurio Arborea, and I am the founder of the Arborea Institute. Through our unique blend of benign pharmacology, sensory therapy, and energy sculpting, we can guide you to a new, better, happier you. You are about to embark on a great journey. Let the new age of enlightenment begin.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
It's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
Welcome, useless eaters, to the Odd Man Out podcast, where we talk about hidden history, deep political policy, occult deconstruction, economics, religion, and philosophy. I'm your rabbit hole aficionado, the Odd Man. Welcome.
The affirmative task we have now is to create a new world order.
Public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
And when that first cocaine was smuggled in on a ship, it may as well have been a deadly bacteria so much as it hurt the body, the soul of our country. But take my word for it, this scourge will stop.
Greetings, oddities, and welcome to another The Odd Man Out podcast. As always, I thank you so much for hanging out with me. You could be doing all kinds of stuff, but instead, we're here learning together, and I really appreciate that more than you'll ever know. And this week, I'm going to be taking it a little easier. I am, of course, still working on the Democracy Propaganda series, and the next episode, I promise, is going to be just packed full of information like the last one. But this week, I want to talk about some current events, which I usually don't do, but as it's getting closer to election season, I can't help but kind of be interested in it. And I think that some of the things I've said on social media just need to be put into a podcast. So that's kind of what I'm going to do with this episode. So I appreciate your patience. You know, things are getting crazier and crazier. I said this months ago. It always happens during the big election seasons. And we're just inundated with crazy news anyway, constantly, 24/7. We're distracted. Our attention's diverted off of many more important things. And, you know, it's up for debate why a lot of stories become viral, why a lot of stories are so popular. Obviously, we know that the mainstream media, and part of alt media for that matter, or new media, is controlled opposition, and there's certain things that they won't talk about because of advertisers and connections and beliefs and different things like that. So we have to be more careful than ever to really take the time to try and discern what we're being told and try and see if we can tell if it's the truth or a lie or somewhere in between. But the big story right now, of course, in America is these college protests. And I have a lot of thoughts about that. After studying propaganda so much, and especially concerning the latest series that I am working on, Democracy Propaganda, I've realized that you really have to look deeper than the headlines and really think about what you're hearing and kind of study what the right and the left are saying and how they're portraying things, because a lot of this is controlled opposition, as I said a few minutes ago. And we need to understand that our minds are being molded, just like Edward Bernays says, constantly. And so I think that we have to think about our rights and what really is the big picture when we see these big stories. Because we tend to just react with our emotions and with our tribalism and our party loyalties. And we really do ourselves a disfavor by doing that. We really are our own worst enemies when it comes to that. And I think the big picture with these, if you want to call them demonstrations, protests, they've all but called them riots. The thing is, well, let me say this first. I think the big picture, after looking at everything and trying to study it, is that they're conditioning the people as a whole to see protests and demonstrations as negative. And hear me out. They did this with the January Sixers. Okay? It was the same thing. And this is bigger than Democrat and Republican. And the thing is, the left and the right media, they follow the same techniques for the most part. I mean, everyone I don't like is a communist, a Nazi, an anti-Semite, a white nationalist, a terrorist supporter. I mean, it's the same things, guys. They use the same techniques to screw us over. A lot of media exists to keep us divided and distracted. And so why wouldn't they use those same operations and techniques? And, you know, another thing about the protests is that it's taken the emphasis off of what they really were about in the first place, and that is the mass slaughter of people in Gaza. It's made people forget that. It's made people forget that our government just gave $95 billion to three foreign governments, Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Israel is a rich country, and we've talked about that many times. So they don't need our help in the first place. Why do they get it? Why are our reps absolutely blindly loyal to the Israeli government? Not the people. Again, about half the people or more in Israel are against their government. So it's no different than here. But our representatives are loyal to the Israeli lobby and to the people, of course, who give them the most campaign funding and do the most favors for them. So the deck is really stacked against us. And so the big picture is they want people on both sides to kind of view demonstrations and protests as bad, as negative. And they're doing that. They're getting that done. I said the other day that Republicans, they love freedom and liberty so much, they're willing to destroy it to save it from the Democrats. And I think we're seeing that with these new, I call them hate speech laws, whatever you want to call them, it's the same thing. They don't want these kids to be able to protest on college campuses. And their right to protest is your right to protest, dumbass. I mean, it's as simple as that. And so now that the government has been given the go-ahead to stop protests on college campuses, then the next time you conservatives need to protest your government, whether it be assaults on the Second Amendment or what have you, you won't be able to do it. Or you'll be arrested for doing it. You'll be castigated for doing it. And so also I'm seeing a lot of the communist label being thrown around by conservatives. And they've always used that term blanketly to just call anybody that they don't like a communist, when a lot of times the things that they were complaining about were not really communist tactics anyway. And I'm a stickler for definitions being accurate. So if someone's a communist, then explain why they're a communist. If they're doing other things you don't like, you don't support, you don't agree with, then just say you don't agree with it and give reasons why, but don't blanketly call them something that they're not. Because that waters down the term. And conservatives have watered down the term communism. It's just a fact. My rep here in Tennessee, she is a hardcore Zionist, AIPAC recipient. You can see her speaking at AIPAC. And she made a tweet yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago, actually. It said, any student who has promoted terrorism or engaged in terrorist acts on behalf of Hamas should be immediately added to the terrorist watch list and placed on the TSA no-fly list. Now, let's think about that. Let's back away from this and kind of take our emotions and tribalism out of it and think about the conservative media. A lot of it is just blanketly labeling people Hamas or terrorist supporters because they're freely carrying out, exercising their First Amendment right. And you may not agree with what they say, but what happened to, I will defend you to the death for your right to say it? We don't do that anymore at all, and we're destroying our own rights to say things. This is not rocket science. This is so simple. So I said to her, and of course, I think I'm shadow banned on Twitter because like one out of every like 7 or 8 tweets even gets any attention. And this one got nothing. I said to her tweet, anyone falsely labeled a terrorist or Nazi when they're in fact advocating peace via their First Amendment right should be able to sue U.S. representatives for defamation. And I should have said the media as well. Because if they're not going to adhere to the First Amendment, then we're going to have to go outside it and take other tactics to fight against it, if there's any will. And there could be some pretty big mass lawsuits. Because when you get labeled a terrorist or a terrorist sympathizer or a Nazi sympathizer, that can completely ruin your life. It can completely ruin your ability to make money and be employed. It can actually bring violence to you and has. So there must be repercussions if they are carrying out these repercussions for exercising our First Amendment. Then our only choice, unfortunately, is to give it right back to them. Now, I mentioned this on my social media, but think about it. At least since 2016, MAGA, and going way back farther than that, just conservatives in general, have been wrongly being called Nazis and white supremacists and white nationalists and all this. And now the conservative media trolls and big conservative pundits are doing the same exact thing, and they're advocating shutting down the ability for these people to demonstrate and protest. Again, we share the same rights. It's our rights to protest as well. And, you know, looking kind of outside this or kind of beyond it, I imagine the elite political strategists sitting back in a big room at a big table, coming up with the next big divisive operation, how they're going to foment and or hijack protests or demonstrations, knowing that the conservatives, the first thing they're going to do is call for censorship and arrest. Just so, as I mentioned a minute ago, the next time conservatives need to protest their government, they can't. You see how this works? This is a sick cycle. And we always have to be thinking about, because our government works via the Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. It's very frustrating that more people can't see beyond the headlines, and they're just tools. They're just puppets that are reacting and acting exactly the way big shots want them to. You know, Anomaly had a good point the other day. He was basically saying that there is no real outcry, no major outcry against woke college campuses. You know, all these things that's been happening for so long. I mean, let's get real here. Crowder has made a fortune out of doing what he did on college campuses. But, you know, as soon as you get Israel involved, and it's about Israel, that's when the hammer comes down. That's when they got to bring Big Brother and the shock troops in. And the conservatives, they always do this, man. They always do this, in my lifetime anyway. When there's left-wing demonstrations, protests, or even riots, they want to call in the National Guard. They want to militarize the police even more. And again, I try to tell people, you know, that's going to come right back around on you. That's going to come right back around on you. The founders warned against standing armies against the people. That's why they didn't want big armies, because they knew they could turn against the people. You are your own worst enemy. You've got to get back away from the situation and think about the big picture. But it's too much to ask for. And, you know, I talk about it all the time on Those We Don't Speak Of. But it's just clear, never been more clear, to a lot more people, that all the principles, all the policies of our representatives, they are dependent upon what the Israeli government wants, what their lobbyists, what their funders want. Anything can be changed, and anything will, to fit what they are wanting. And our representatives are on the take. They don't represent us. And anyone that thinks they do is a damn fool. I mean, excuse me, but that's just the way it is. And there's a lot of fools out there. It kind of goes back to men cannot serve two masters. Our reps, they cannot be America first, yet be bankrolled by a foreign lobby. It's just, the two don't go together. You can't be a real patriot and be loyal to another government. And that's a problem with having all these Zionists in these presidential administrations. It's obvious that they, no matter what they say, how much they call you an anti-Semite, which is not even a correct term, they are loyal from their culture, from their upbringing, from decades and decades of all the talk about the promised land. They are loyal to this foreign nation, this spot of land over in the Middle East. And they will do anything to enrich the people over there in the government and the people over there in the business sector. And this is a global thing. This is a global thing. Zionists are everywhere. I mean, it's not even, I mean, I don't even fool around anymore with people who try to disagree with it. There's so much evidence everywhere you look. They want to use the race card at every turn. Remember, for years, Republicans complained, rightly so, about Democrats using the race card. And then they turn around and they do the exact same thing constantly when it comes to Israel. And with Israel, you know, we've talked about this, but is it a person? Is it a place? Is it a people? Is it a religion? Well, it's any of those things when it's convenient. So it's really unfair. They try to work it as so you can't complain about any policies whatsoever. And going back to conservatives, I see people like SC Cup or the Being Libertarian site, which is really mostly just a conservative site. But a lot of these, even libertarian sites, they're just going with the flow. They're calling every protester a George Soros paid protester or a Nazi or a Hamas sympathizer, supporter, all that stuff. Blanketly labeling people, just like the left does. No difference whatsoever. And when they do that, another reason they do that is so they won't have to actually talk about issues and hash out issues like adults. That's the way you get things done, and that's what they're afraid of. They don't want to hash out any issues. And a lot of Republicans, especially the older ones, you know, they've never even been honest enough to admit the Vietnam War was bad. They still think that the war on terror was a good thing. And that, of course, Obama and Biden didn't do enough, hasn't done enough. They don't realize that all these wars and all this foreign intervention and foreign funding and rebuilding after we rebelize has destroyed our country. It's created mass devastation around the world, mass death and injury and displacement. And that's one of the reasons that Europe is in such a bad spot from all the people who have fled from these countries that we've rebelized. It's so clear. These people care more about their political parties than they do about what's right, more about the political parties than their faith, more about the political parties than their family, friends, or their own country, or their own rights for that matter. I joke around and say it almost seems like a mass spell has come over the nation, but it's not so much that as it's just the media they listen to. It's just constant division and distraction. And, you know, of course, one of the things I harp on is no accountability. So conservative media, they don't call out their own hardly ever, and they build Trump up as a god. And they've always built up their presidents as gods, but it's just more than ever now. And it's kind of funny when you see people like Alex Jones or other people who really were forced just because of just it was so many people pointing out that they were basically butt boys for Trump and butt boys for Israel because they would never point out any of the bad things that they did. Now he and others, you know, kind of had to come out and say some things, but they're still on board. They had to do that to keep their listeners so they wouldn't look like they were just shills. And that's not to say that Alex Jones doesn't do some good work sometimes and certainly has done some good things in the past, but you can't trust him. You can't fully trust him. Can't fully trust any of them anymore. Tucker Carlson interviewing Dugin. Dugin admittedly said that Kabbalah was the greatest accomplishment of mankind. I mean, I've seen both of those guys wearing a red thread around their wrist, and I've seen Putin as well. People need to think about this stuff and stop just depending on these people to tell you the exact truth. A lot of times they're going to give you a little bit of the truth, but not the whole thing. And that's very important. You need to go in and find the rest of the truth for yourself and weigh the facts. You've got to do this stuff on your own. And I know most of you that listen to this realize that, but I think we need to get that through to other people. I'm sorry, by the way, if you've heard birds in the background because I have the window open, but I just wanted some fresh air. I want to take the time to thank my friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, from Alternate Current Radio and TNT Radio. He was kind enough to get me an interview with Jason Burmess on the Jason Burmess Show. So I got to be on there, and probably wasn't my best showing because I was sick with the flu. I was so sick, and I was on medication for the flu. But I was really happy to be on there, and so thank you, Ruckus. He is actually the producer of that show, so congratulations to him. I think that's awesome because he's a big fan of Jason Burmess, and I didn't know what to expect. I'll be honest, I've not listened to him very much, and he was so cool, very kind and complimentary, so thank you to both of those guys. You know, I want to talk about quickly, too. We've talked about this maybe in the past, or we may have pointed out other people, but I just see conservative media fawning over Bill Maher constantly. You guys see that? They've really built him up, which is so ironic because a lot of these outlets, they claim to be Christian conservative outlets, but let's think about that. Bill Maher has been one of the most outspoken anti-Christian comedians, commentators, in pop culture. I mean, said horrible things about Christianity. But that just goes to show, for me, that politics is bigger than faith for these guys. I think I said that a minute ago. It beats everything. So they'll put these guys out there as heroes and great guys, and they'll praise them. And they continue to praise Elon, of course. He's like the conservative darling. And this guy is not trustworthy whatsoever. I mean, does he make some good points sometimes? Yeah. But he also wants to hook your brain up to his Neuralink system. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He's been in bed with the government for a long time, taking a lot of tax dollars. So you think that he's not biased? You think he couldn't be co-opted? Get real, man. Get real. The level of naivety still in the conservative camp blows my mind. Blows my mind. It's just a bunch of kids. You know, I put a poll on my Twitter the other day. I said something like, who do you think is the most politically naive, young liberals or old conservatives? And old conservatives got it like 70%. And I think that's right, because at least the libs, they get some of the things they want from their representatives, if you can call them that. Conservatives hardly ever get anything but rhetoric and empty promises and a big show. Yet they still, time after time, go out there and push the button or pull the lever or whatever you want to say for those same old crappy, horrible, turncoat, traitorous conservatives. Lindsey Graham gets reelected time after time after time. It's just absolutely pathetic. And I want to say shout out to APAC Tracker. It's a really cool website and Twitter profile that's really documenting a lot of these representatives and how much they've gotten from the Israeli lobbies. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say that there's no way to track all of it by the way they operate. And there's a lot of special favors and promises for jobs and different things like that that we'll never know about fully, but certainly they're one of the biggest campaign donors out there. And we've heard people like Cynthia McKinney and others point out that our new reps have to sign documents saying that they will not support the BDS movement, that they will support Israel. And, you know, before we get off the subject completely of these protests, I want to remind people that the ADL has been training our police, local police, for years, even doing these exchanges where they bring Israeli policemen over here and ship our policemen over there. If this was any other country, people would be up in arms. It's just absolutely ridiculous because the ADL, formed out of B'nai B'rith, formed out of Freemasonry, these guys are so hardcore Zionist, it's absolutely pathetic. They will lie, cheat, steal, label people racists, anti-Semites, white nationalists, all kinds of horrible things, Nazis. Yet our police are working with them. It just goes to show you, man, how twisted things are. And you might as well forget about Conservative Inc. ever pointing out any of this stuff. They're basically there, as I said the other day, they're there for several reasons, but they're there for one, to build up the Israeli government and their business cronies around the world. They're there to build up the military-industrial complex, big pharma, a lot of big businesses. There to look like they are the opposition, but they're not. And there to distract you, make you angry, and divert your attention away from other things. That's what they do. That's why they're there. Their patriotism is fake. It's not real. You can't be an American patriot again and be loyal to another country. That's just the way it is. And also, did you notice that Trump went and had a nice, long, several-hour meeting with Ron DeSantis? After all the crap that he's talked about DeSantis, they went over there and had a meeting. Yes, it's like wrestling, dude. It's so much like wrestling. That's not just a meme. Obviously, it is. And so now DeSantis supports Trump, and I have to remind you that these are two of the biggest Zionists that have ever walked the earth as far as politicians go. Both have won coveted awards from the Zionist Organization of America. DeSantis went over to Israel on a couple of different tours. He's received awards over there. Trump's received numerous awards from Israeli organizations. I mean, these guys, they're all on the take. And, you know, conservatives and Christians and traditionalists have been conned into believing that Israel politics, Israeli politics, and American politics go hand in hand. And you're not a patriot if you don't support Israel. And they don't know anything about the politicians over there, the belief systems over there. They just assume that all the politicians are religious. I saw an article, I posted it the other day. It said that Naftali Bennett, who was the guy before Netanyahu, He served, I think, from like maybe 2021 to 2022. And then Netanyahu took his position back as PM. Of course, he was PM before that, I think. So Naftali Bennett was the first religious Jew to be an Israeli prime minister. Think about that. I mean, all these conservatives, they just consider Netanyahu to be a good old Christian, you know, or they think that, you know, Jews and Christians have so much in common. Again, you know, of course, going through our series, Those We Don't Speak Of, we realize that it's a totally different religion and not even the religion that people think it is. So it's just, again, goes back to naivety and people not being informed. And they just continue to work us over again and again and again. And you wonder when the people will wise up, but at this point, I don't think they will. I really don't think they will. Another thing I want to mention quickly, a lot of people don't realize this, but Starlink is in full operation now. And that kind of has went under the radar. And you wonder if these protests weren't meant to kind of divert attention away from that as well as the genocide. But Starlink is fully operational. And little did I know that most of the new iPhones and all the future smartphones have this new low-energy Bluetooth tech, making your smartphone traceable at all times, even if you have your phone off. So the surveillance state has come together fully. All these things are happening. You know, Biden passed the FISA policies. I mean, can you guys see where this is leading? It's just, the tyranny is happening right now. They're cracking down on the ability to petition your government. The surveillance state is getting underway. The FISA. Next, of course, they'll have to destroy the Second Amendment. It's got to go. It's the only thing that's really kind of protected the other amendments. And many know that it was under assault, even worse under Trump than Obama, because, again, it's our own camp that usually destroys our rights and principles worse than the other side. So whoever is going to be the next presbyterian, that administration, I'm sure, is going to be assaulting the Second Amendment like you would not believe. It's really going to be bad because they got to do it. They got to do it. They'll keep people so distracted like they did before that they don't even realize what's going on. Because most conservatives had no idea what was happening to the Second Amendment during Trump. They just didn't. So you have to realize that we are our representation. That's it. Hardly anyone really represents us. Some people pointed out that AOC had said that basically the Biden regime was committing genocide or supporting genocide, which they are, absolutely. And then you see her having a nice photo with Joe Biden. So these people, they have no integrity whatsoever. They'll say things, then they'll do the opposite. And I think in a real quick, solid way, you can understand that post 9/11, the policies are documented proof that conservative politicians will happily destroy freedom in order to save it from the lips. And think about how Donald Trump didn't do anything to roll those policies back. Instead, he renewed them. He renewed the Patriot Act. He gave the NSA even more domestic spying powers. You understand? He didn't do anything to reinstate the provisions in the Smith-Mundt Act, which keep our government from issuing domestic propaganda on us. Now, I could go on and on about that. But they kept us on a steady diet of distractions and looking at the enemy and worrying about what was happening to Trump so much that people weren't worrying about their own rights. They weren't worrying that, oh, Trump is renewing all this authoritarian stuff that we were against before that. Because it doesn't matter as long as you're obeying your feelings and trying to stick it to the shit libs. That's all that we care about. It's really an astounding time to be alive and witness a lot of things that we're witnessing. I think, you know, with the libertarian side, you know, their main tenet, besides smaller government, is being anti-war. And it was pretty interesting seeing all these libertarians come out in support of the attempted genocide or mass slaughter of Gaza. And, of course, they have a lot of those we don't speak of as top members of the Libertarian Party. But, you know, people like Dave Smith was really speaking out and is still speaking out against this stuff. So that's great. There are a few people out there who are completely honest, but a lot of them, you know, they completely did a turnaround and suddenly supported war and killing. So no integrity there either. And that goes back to just the culture that I talked about earlier. But something I saw interesting before I did the show was that the Libertarian Party had posted that they had invited Donald Trump and Joe Biden to the Libertarian National Convention. And to their surprise, Donald Trump said yes. I thought that was very interesting because this is unprecedented. But if he wanted to get quite a few people who generally are not on his side, on his side, then that would be something to do. So really, because in the people's minds, a lot of the people's minds, he still has that maverick, renegade vibe. Just because of the way he talked to the opposition and the press. But when you look at his appointees and look at his policies, it definitely doesn't reflect that rebellious, patriotic vibe. But if he goes into the Libertarian Party and makes a good showing, he'll pull a bunch of people over there. And then people on his side that are already behind him will say, oh, well, yeah, he spoke in front of the Libertarian, so he's definitely a patriot. See how this works? It's all psychology. So I thought that was really interesting. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out, if it actually does happen. I don't think they would just say that because they're not a funny bunch over there. So I don't think they would post that unless it was legit. Now, could be that Trump could pull out and say, no, never mind, I can't make it or whatever, but I guess we'll see. But I know this was a short show, short segment, but I want to finish up by a couple of cool things that I've got to do recently with some friends, my wife and our couple friends. And I don't get out as much as I used to, but I still like to go out and do things when I can. And a few weeks ago, my wife and I and our couple friends, we went to Asheville, North Carolina, to the Orange Pill to see the singer of Creed, Scott Stapp's solo band. It's funny because I really liked the first Creed record back in the day. But then after that, I just kind of lost track of them. I knew they went mainstream really big. And I was in my own band at the time, so I kind of wasn't really looking at a lot of the things bands were doing. But I did like that first record quite a bit. And it was funny because, like, I don't know, maybe a year ago, my wife and our friends, we went on a camping trip, and we listened to Creed the whole time. It was funny. It just happened to, like, check it out, you know, because we were sitting around the fire, and I jam with my friend Aaron, the husband. He plays guitar really well, and we've written some songs together. And so we were sitting around playing guitar, and we got kind of tired of that, and we had a campfire going, and we started talking about Creed and how they really were a good band, but they got labeled, you know, kind of like posers or butt rock or whatever. And that only happened when people figured out that Scott Stapp's lyrics had a Christian vibe to them. And, you know, that's how open-minded people are. And it wasn't even overly Christian. It was just really about faith and struggle and stuff like that. And so we started listening to Creed and we were like, wow, you know, this third album, neither of us had heard it. And the song Weathered is a really cool song. I think Mark Tremonti is a really underrated guitar player. I mean, the guy's got like three bands. You know, he's got Alter Bridge. He's got Creed. He's got Tremonti, and I think he's got another band, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the guy's a really good guitar player, a unique guitar player. Anyway, we started listening to Creed, and then my wife and I figured out that Scott Stapp had a bunch of solo records. And so we checked those out and really liked most of the stuff. I think that he's very underrated. But long story short, we ended up seeing that, hey, he was going to the Orange Peel, which is a great place to see a concert. There's been so many good bands and artists there over the years. And Asheville's a really special place anyway, but we went to see him, and the show was absolutely wonderful. Fantastic show. And had a great time. And we stayed in outside of Asheville in like a rural area, but had a lot of fun. And then my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, right before I got sick, we went to Cincinnati and stayed for a couple of days. And the first time I went to Cincinnati was, I don't know, over 10 years ago, probably 15 years ago or more. And it, I guess, had been devastated kind of by the crash in 2008, and a lot of factories had closed down. It was a big industrial area at one time, and so it was kind of shady. We stayed at a nice hotel, but just like around the corner, it was horrible. And I've been there once or twice to go to the zoo with the kids and do a couple of things, but we hadn't been there in years, and we got to really walk around and see the city and go to some places, eat some really good food. We hit several local breweries up that were really good and really enjoyed ourselves. It was so nice to get out, and I really was impressed with the way Cincinnati is revamping their city. Just so many empty buildings that used to be factories or stores, and they're changing those into apartments and new stores and different things like that. And one of the things that we noticed, too, is not a lot of new buildings as far as houses go in that area, even outside the city. A lot of it is just older houses that they've kept up or revamped, which is pretty cool. A lot of history there. So that was fun. But this past weekend, something interesting, again, we did. Just a one town over, real small town. My friend Aaron and I, that I spoke of earlier, we like wrestling. You know, we like to check out wrestling sometimes. And we've been following this local wrestling, KFW. And we realized a while back that the Smashing Pumpkins singer / guitar player founder, Billy Corgan, had bought out the old National Wrestling Alliance. Now, I know I'm going way off topic of what Odd Man usually talks about here. But, yeah, so he had bought the NWA, which is where Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen and so many great wrestlers had come from back in the day. I grew up watching wrestling, and though I haven't kept up with it in the last few years up until recently, I really get a kick out of it. You need these things to kind of enjoy so you can kind of get away from all the gloom and doom. So anyway, my wife saw that Billy Corgan was coming to the small town that I grew up in, just a couple of towns over, to the KFW, because he's got a couple of wrestlers in the KFW who are also in the NWA. So we went, real small venue, very small, and Billy Corgan is just walking around, just like a regular guy, you know? It was so wild. He did come out and he announced that he was incorporating the KFW into the NWA. And my friend Aaron, his youngest son, is a guitar player and drummer, and one of his favorite bands is Smashing Pumpkins. So we waited around until the show was over, and we got to meet Billy. And he was very nice, a timid dude, very reserved, just like you think he would, just like you think he would be. He was just like he is in interviews, very quiet and polite. And so it was really interesting to meet somebody like that, because obviously, you know, he goes back to the grunge days, and he's really been a mover and shaker in that music. Even when it wasn't popular, he stuck to his guns, and some people don't like his voice. I understand that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of wild. I did not expect to see him just walking around. I figured that he would maybe come out and do some quick announcement and then jet back to the back. We wouldn't see him anymore. But no, he hung out and watched the shows for the most part and then come out afterwards. So thought that was really cool. One more thing I wanted to mention too. Again, this is way off what Odd Man would usually talk about, but I just want to kind of share some of the things that's been going on in my life besides being sick and old. But my wife and I were downtown in our city a few weeks ago. We're going to eat, and we're walking up one of the streets, and we could hear a couple of people talking behind this wall that was kind of coming out from a hotel onto the sidewalk. And we look over, and the comedian Mark Norman is right beside us. You know, we've seen him before. We've seen his stand-up, and we've seen him, of course, on Joe Rogan. And yeah, we talked to him briefly for a few minutes. He was on his way to the show. He said, "I'm running late for the show," you know, but he was nice and complimentary. And so it's just weird to see these people you've heard on podcasts and seen on TV and stuff. And you just walk up the street and there they are in your little town. But anyway, just a few interesting things that have happened to me. I'm in the gym. I'm gonna let people know. I'm in the gym again. I really let my health go during COVID, and there's no excuse. I mean, yeah, the gym closed for a little while, but I could have done things to, you know, keep up my health on my end at home, but I didn't. And as you're getting older, about to hit 50 in about a year and a half, it's much harder to keep in shape. And I didn't realize how much harder it was going to be for me to get back in shape. So I've been really struggling with that. I was doing great, man. And then I got sick. And so I missed like a week and a half. But my son and I go to the gym together. And he's really enjoying it, which is interesting. I don't have to actually push him to go. It's one of the few things that I don't have to nag him about. So that's been a blessing as well. So hopefully I'm getting healthier and will feel like doing a lot more podcast-wise and content-wise, because when you're really feeling bad, it's hard to be creative. And, you know, I think that's very important to take care of yourself, especially with what's coming ahead. Who knows what it is, but it can't be all that positive, because look at all the legislation and the things that are going on. So I think the more healthy we are, the more productive we can be, the better we are for our family, for God, for our friends, for our work, for whatever we need to do, for helping others, just across the board. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. And I want to thank you guys so much for continuing to support the podcast and all its highs and lows. And I hope to continue, Lord willing, to give you content. And I think that this Democracy Propaganda series is going to be a lot of fun, because I'm really coming across a lot of information and quotes from people. Just to kind of give you a taste, I realized that in the Edward Bernays book that was before his famous book Propaganda, Crystallizing Public Opinion, he talked about this one author. I don't have his name in front of me, I'm blanking on it, but he talks about this author numerous times. I'll see if I can find it while we're talking. And I thought, you know what? If this guy really influenced Edward Bernays, then I should check out his information too. And it's one particular book that he talks about. And I knew that he was influenced by Lippmann, because Lippmann wrote his book, Public Opinion. And then the next year, I believe it was, Bernays wrote his book, Crystallizing Public Opinion. But he quotes this guy, I'm about to find him here, just work with me. He quotes this guy numerous times, and I started looking through the book, and I was like, oh, wow, this guy is very interesting. He talks mostly about crowds and crowd psychology, like kind of a Gustave Le Bon, but he kind of is a more updated version of Gustave Le Bon, even though that was a long time ago now, too. Where is this guy? He's in my phone here. Just hang tight. His name is Evan Dean Martin, and the book is called The Behavior of Crowds, A Psychological Study. And you can find that on archive.org. So really interesting quotes in there and information. And if he influenced Bernays, then I definitely think it's worth our time to check out. So going through that book, I've also went through some Harold Laswell books, a couple different books, looking at some Bertrand Russell stuff. I mean, I've got so much information now for this podcast series, and I'm really excited about it because I go back to the fact that we need to learn this information. We need to learn these propaganda, psychological warfare, nudge theory, mass manipulation, brainwashing, mind control tactics, so we can identify them when we see them in the media and everywhere we go. So I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you guys. And I want to thank you again for listening to this. Thank you for putting up with the quirky stories at the end. I just wanted to share some personal things with you that I thought was pretty cool. So much appreciated for your patience. And let me say one more thing about this. You know, we see something on TV or on the internet now, an act of violence, and we automatically assume that this is rampant. Now, remember, there are thousands and thousands of people protesting, just like there was on January 6th. Now, the media, they will take whatever they can, any photo op or video op, and they'll sensationalize the hell out of it. Now, the intel community, as we've noted in their own manuals, talk about how they go in, they claim it's only overseas, so it's okay. They go in and they foment unrest, and then they send their people in to act like they're a part of the protests, and they will get the people going, get them all angry to cause fighting and cause division and cause a ruckus, if you will. Even talk about creating a martyr for the cause, but certainly injuries and property damage helps. So they send their guys in, their assets, to do these things. The media complies, gets the photo ops, the video ops. It's shown 24/7. And then the media, alt media, conservative media across the board, and not everybody in alt media, of course, but quite a few, will run with it. And then pretty soon, they say, well, yeah, all those people are white nationalists or Nazis. All those people are communists or terrorist sympathizers. And all they do is commit crimes and destroy. And so they've got all these commentators and these people with gigantic social media followings saying the exact same thing. And then suddenly this blanket, this wave, this huge cloud over the country gets thousands of people thinking the same thing. And so that becomes the reason for destroying rights. The left and the right both do it. They work off of each other. It's a very dualistic system. So we need to also think about these things perhaps being in play with the demonstrations. I want to quickly thank my patrons. I want to thank Anne. I want to thank Anthony. I want to thank Cole. I want to thank Ashley. I want to thank that crazy bread man for being a covert co-conspirator. I want to thank Aaron. I want to thank Ruckus for being a producer of the show. Check out Ruckus's content on The Daily Ruckus on alternatecurrentradio.com and on TNT Radio as well. Ruckus is a producer over there, and you can hear him on various segments. And congratulations to him because he just became the producer of the Jason Burma Show. So thank you, Ruckus, for your support. Thank you to No Evil Shall I Fear. Thank you to James. Thank you to Bill for being a producer of the show. Thank you to the Mighty Kilowatt. And thank you to Sir Tim of the Tunnels. And with that being said, guys, I want to thank AlternateCurrentRadio.com for hosting my show. Get on over there and check out all their fine podcasts. They've got music and talk shows. Check out their flagship, The Boiler Room. Also, thank you to FringeRadioNetwork.com for carrying the show as well. Cheers and blessings, guys. And remember, their order is not our order. See ya.